Welcome to the Fire Pit Podcast, episode one. So we had episode zero last week. I number it that way because in computers and like computer science world and programming, you start things with zero. So most people don't know that. But
so last week was meaningless, right?
Last week was meaningless. And there's no expectation, so it's actually pretty great.
That's good.
So today's episode, we are going to talk about, or the title of the episode is My Experience with My Father. So we'll go through a few questions that we have, you about your dad, and then me about my dad, you. So I think we'll start with you. So first question will be, what was your dad like?
It's an interesting topic for me. And I'm at a point in my life where I want to be more even-handed and give my dad a fair shake on stuff, because I was really pretty unfair about my thoughts about him earlier in my life. And as I've grown older, I've begun to realize that he did a lot of great things. And as I was looking back over my life with my dad, he's been gone for quite a few years now, but I still remember some very good things about that relationship. He made sure I got involved in a lot of different things when I was growing up. He got me into Boy Scouts. He got me into Little League. He went with me to the meetings. And he was cheering me on from the stands when I was going for the pennant one year. Our little team, we named ourselves the Boston Red Sox, and I still remember just glimpses of it, although it was a long time ago. So he was a supporter, and I remember as a family, he took us out on camping trips. He loved going camping. He loved going up into the mountains. We lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and so this was back in the 50s. When Phoenix was a much smaller town than it is today. But he loved going up into the old Indian ruins. We went to Tombstone. We went to old Tucson where they made the movies. And my dad had this dry wit. I remember we were going through one of the Indian ruins one time, and he picked up a bottle cap, and he said, "My goodness, look at this, Wayne. They had Coca-Cola way back then, you know." So he had a great sense of humor. And I love those trips. They were wonderful. I'm trying to think about just a really good time. I remember one thing he did for me. I remember being a little bit upset with him because he bought my sister a car, and she was 3 years older than me. And I just remember thinking when it got to be my time, he never bought me a car. And I was upset about that because it wasn't fair, of course. And then one year in school, I was working in an auto shop, and I was going to learn how to fix cars. I'm not really a fix-it person, but I was going to give it my best shot. And I didn't realize at the time what a chance he was taking by letting his son work on the family car, but he did. And I remember taking the carburetor apart, and not a word from him. He never said a word. And my buddy and I were working on the car. We took the carburetor off, and then we were going to put it back together and put it back on the car. Well, unfortunately, the car didn't run quite as smoothly as it had run previously, and so we ended up having to take the car in to take a look at it. And I still remember we were at the service station where they were looking at it, and I heard the conversation between the service tech and my dad, and he was saying, "I don't know who worked on this car last, but they put the accelerator pump in upside down in your carburetor." And my dad never said a word. You know, I was just kind of waiting for him to say, "Yeah, well, my stupid kid, you know, messed up the car." But he never did. He never said it. And I look back on that, and I'm thinking, thanks, Dad. I really appreciate that. And it wasn't until later, when I was in the Air Force, and I remember I was overseas at the time, and I bought my first car. my very first with my own money. And I told him about it, and he said, he explained at that time, he said, "So this is why I never bought you a car when you were at home, because I thought it would be really important for you to pay for your own first car." And but he didn't look at it that way with my sister. It was, she was to be taken care of, but his son would need to, you know, work his own way and pay for his own stuff. And I got a little bit of a glimpse into his thinking, which was really helpful. And that, you know, he was raised in a different era. He was born way back in the first part of the last century, 1906. So, and the way he was raised, you didn't talk a whole lot about your personal life, and you worked for what you got, and you worked hard for it. And that's where you gained the value of what you achieved. And he never sat down and explained that to me, but he did through his actions. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it now, I realize that I gained an awful lot from this man who didn't do a whole lot of talking about why he did stuff. He just did it. And that was pretty cool. Wow. There's a lot of other stories I could tell, but those were some of the good ones. So what about you? What about
my dad?
I'm putting myself out there by asking that, right?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No. With my dad, it makes it easier, I guess, if I talk about it in you as in third person. I think he is really fun. I got a lot of my inspiration in like daydreaming or not fantasy, just like allowing my mind to wander. That creative side, I think, was nurtured very much so by you when I was growing up. A cool memory was when I was 13, I started doing programming. So I think some guy from church like let me borrow a Powerball or Power B, something like that, some language. And I was like, I like this, but I like the concept of programming languages. So then I got into Visual Basic after that, and we went to a bookstore, and there was this book on Visual Basic, and it was like $50. And I'm 13, and I'm like, oh, Dad, you know, could I have this? And you bought it for me, which was really nice. And I told you, I was like, I'm going to read this book, and then I'm going to learn all these other programming languages. And at that time, I'm sure your thought was like, okay, I mean, getting you to follow through with something as a kid is like the goal. So, I mean, most of the time with kids, it's okay, it'll be something different next week. And I read the whole book. I went on to get a library card and get other books and learned 7, 15, I think I know like 15 languages now. So I really did do that. And I think a lot of me learning those things and where I am in my engineering career could be attributed to that, because you could have very easily just said, it's $50, no way. Because there wasn't internet at this time. So the only way to like consume knowledge in that was in that medium. And then a lot of the stuff from the library was dated by like 10 years. So I wouldn't be learning any technology that would be relevant. So, but it could have been just as easy for you to say no. And I'm curious what would have happened.
That was an interesting time too, because I saw the interest that you had in that general area. And so as a parent, you're thinking, okay, so let's see, we'll feed this fire and see where it goes. One of the things I appreciated about you was that you, when things got hard, you didn't stop. That's always the thing, you know, where you've got somebody who's says at the outset that they're going to do such and such, but when things get a little bit tough, they quit, and you're thinking, well, you know, you can do that. and spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time. But there's a character issue here, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to stick with something and persevere. And so your mom and I, when we talked about how do we develop character in our kids, part of it was, okay, give them things to do, hold them to it, make them do it. Doesn't matter if they like it or not. They just have to do it. And yeah, there's going to be some things that you're going to go out and try to do that you're eventually going to quit doing because you didn't really like it that much. But what it did was it instilled in you an understanding that whatever you do, it's going to be difficult. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go ahead.
Sorry, keep going.
Well, and that's what I saw in you, that you stuck with it and you kept pursuing it, even though it wasn't easy. And so that feeding of that fire turned out to be a positive thing for you. And that was always the challenge of a parent, you know, to understand the bent of your child and then to and support them as they move out in that direction. But again, it has to be coupled with your willingness to persevere, because nothing is easy.
You know? Well, that's an interesting point, because many, 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 many times after that, I guess as I grew in that discipline, and then I went on to like actually get professional jobs within the development arena, started my own company, and how that went, a lot of it was learning from a very young age that it's okay to feel stupid. And I don't mean that in like a negative, like self-degrading way. It's just you encounter these things in development and anything that's hard, and nothing worth doing is easy. But you just get used to that mentality of, here we go again. I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's still to this day. I mean, I have like 20 years of experience, counting from when I was 13, not professional experience, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing constantly. So it's, mm-hmm. it's being comfortable with that. And I think that's what makes you very lethal within those industries, is if you're willing to accept that about yourself and then recognize that as not a lack of intelligence, but just a rule of thumb. So that's a good point, because there were so many, and this is back in the day when there wasn't internet. So when I had a programming error, I had to go back to the book or figure it out myself. And that was, I mean, that makes you like look at things a completely different way. I think me growing up before the internet actually gave me a really high advantage, because like I heard a comedian say this one time and I thought it was really profound. He said, in this day and age where we live now, post internet, the amount of time it takes from you going from not knowing something to knowing something is instantaneous. Whereas in the past, it may take you several weeks to figure something out. There wasn't a Google. You had to like go ask somebody, go research in the library, look it up. That doesn't exist today. So it almost puts others at a disadvantage to have information so readily available to you. And it's also interesting, we have all this information and no one seems to know anything.
But at the same time, think of how many people that you've run into in the working world that are tight-lipped when it comes to admitting that they don't know something. Mm-hmm. It's like they have this expectation of themselves that they're, you know, that they don't want to reveal the fact that they don't know something, and they're not willing to ask questions. They're not willing to humble themselves. You know, that whole character quality of humility, if it's not there, you really don't realize how you stop the learning process.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to say it's not a sin to be ignorant. Mm-hmm. It ends up being a sin to being stupid because you're afraid to ask questions, acknowledging your ignorance. And that's how you've learned so many times, because you were willing to step up and say, I really don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah. And realizing that you, in those situations, Like, you're going to bend, and you're either going to bend or you're going to break, but it is a force larger than yourself.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, I don't, you know, I can't figure it out. I'm not going to do it that way. I mean, life kind of pushes you in that direction. So when you accept like the normalcy of feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that's a really interesting thing about entrepreneurs. I talked to some younger entrepreneurs, and they'll always tell me, like, is it normal for me to feel like I have no clue what's going on? And I'm like, yes, that's very normal. I feel that way on a daily basis. Like, in a daily basis for an entrepreneur, you go from my company's doing amazing to I need to sell it and get rid of it to I have no idea what I'm doing. Why am I doing this? This isn't going to work. And that's just a mental up and down that happens because you're human. But so then for me, for some activities that you and I did together that I thought was really fun was when you used to clean pools and you would take me with you. Like, I thought that was the coolest thing, to like get to clean pools and learn, like, you can't put your hands in the water and then in your jeans, otherwise the chlorine will like burn through your clothes. I thought that was cool. And seeing all the different people's houses and businesses, that was a really fun memory for me. Another cool one was we went on a father-son camping trip, and I think it was just a day trip, but we went hiking.
It was overnight.
Did we stay in a hotel or
this was back when you were in grade school, probably, when we lived in Austin, and we went to a lake with a group of guys, and it was an overnighter.
That one? One I'm referring to is later in life.
Oh, okay.
When we went on a hike in the middle of the summer, and I thought I was like, well, I'm going to go on this long hike with Dad, and I've been working out, and I'm very conditioned, so I'll have to keep an eye on him. And as we're walking, I realized now the culprit was wearing a backpack. So I had a backpack on, so the sweat off my back couldn't evaporate and cool my body down. So as I'm walking, I'm slowly overheating. And it gets to the point where we're walking on this gravel path, and I tell you, I'm like, hey, Dad, I'm just going to lay down really quick. And you're like, what do you mean lay down? We're in the middle of like a trail in the forest. And I like lay down on the ground. And you're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I think, I don't know what's happening, but like my thoughts, I started like losing it. And I was the one that overheated and almost went to the hospital because of
well,
that.
and to give you the thoughts that were going through my head was, I'm seeing the initial stages of heat stroke. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure what the best avenue to take here, but I've got to get you to cool down somehow or other. And so it's time to pray, because I have we're not near anything, and we're out walking, and we don't know what's around the next bend or how far it is to the car or, you know, whatever. But I know that we've got to get you to cool down quickly, because heat stroke, not a good thing.
Well, in my mind, I was like in another world. Like, for me, in my mind, at that moment, it felt completely logical to just lay down in the dirt. And there are other people walking, too. So they're like, So that was a fun, not a fun memory, but it was a fond memory. It was cool. And it was humble pie for me, for sure, because I was thinking, like, oh, I'm really conditioned, and Dad's older, and you were running circles around me. It was pretty funny.
Well, and the answer to prayer, of course, you can't forget that.
No,
we come
sure.
around the next bend, and we see a camping area that actually had bathrooms and showers. And so you went in there and did your thing standing under the shower for the next 20 minutes just to get your body temperature to cool down. And that was really an answer to prayer, buddy.
No, it was. And it takes a long time, longer than I thought, for your core temperature to come down. You would think that it's pretty immediate, and it's definitely not.
No.
And then, so yeah, the cleaning the pools, the camping trips, the times we get away. Doing the podcast is a pretty unique experience to do with your dad. For us, it's more, I think for myself, my perspective of it is, we're not as much activity guys as just sit and like I was going to say just talk. So for us, it's more like the relational aspect as opposed – some guys, you know, they need to do fishing or hunting or stuff for them to say like the three sentences they're going to say to each other. But for us, we're much more open and communicative. So I like that.
Which was a real answer for me too, because my father, again, for coming from the generation he came from, he didn't do a lot of talking about personal stuff. It was all the he talked about important stuff, but there was nothing about revealing about how you're feeling or struggles that you're having internally or whatever, or dreams you may have. He never really talked about any of that stuff. And so I was just kind of yearning to have those conversations with him. I wanted to get to know him, but I also wanted to bounce some of my own thinking off of his head to give me some idea. Dad, am I okay? Am I crazy? Is the stuff that I'm struggling with, is that normal? We just never had those kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. So when you and I started to talk, and I kind of go back to this event that we had on that family camping trip where we stayed in Wimberley and we were sitting out in front of a fire pit, interestingly enough, and we started talking. And those are memories that are really good for me, because we've connected on things like at that point where I was sharing some inner thinking in my life and you started sharing some of your thoughts. And you're right. Those are some good memories, some conversations that I really treasure.
When you learn so much about yourself, just like I was saying, getting used to feeling stupid, I think it's getting used to telling the truth. You know, and for me, it was, I feel this way. I feel lost. I feel that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And there's something freeing about just being able to say that and being okay with like, I don't know the answers, and that's totally fine. So I thought another cool one, and I think we'll do this one in conclusion. I really like this question. So for your dad, what are some things that you learned about him versus from him?
Unfortunately, I learned it a little later in life, but the most recent one was I learned that my dad was a whole lot more like me. I was a lot more like him than I even realized. And that really kind of came about in an episode where I was writing a letter to somebody. And it was a family member. And in that letter, it took me a long time to write it because it was one of those really hard letters that you have to write. And it took me days to write this letter. And I finally wrote it and then I sent it. And as I was writing that letter, it dawned on me there was a letter that my dad wrote to me while I was in the service. And I was over stationed in Panama. And it's the only letter he ever wrote to me. And I would give anything to find that letter again. But he knew I was struggling with some stuff in my service time there. And he chastised me. I had forgotten the 25th wedding anniversary of my mom and dad. And that was a no-no. And then he knew I was doing some things that I shouldn't be doing. And so he wrote, and he was very kind and thoughtful. And it was, he knew that I was seeing a girl at that time and I was having some ideas about what I wanted to do. And I was thinking about marrying this girl and bringing her back to the States. I don't think you ever heard this part of it.
No, I did not. So he started back to the States.
So then he started telling me about a girl that he knew when he was younger, who and he was just making a relational thing there. And he said, yeah, I was in a similar situation, but it wasn't real. And I realized that. But getting back to where this was just so eye-opening for me, I realized as I was reading, as I'm thinking back about that letter, first of all, this was the first and only letter he ever wrote to me. Secondly, he never talked about these things when I was growing up in this manner or about these kinds of types of things. And I realized that my dad wrote me a letter that must have taken him 3 days to write. And in the process of that, he shared what he was thinking. And I remember, I looking back, I never saw that at the time. I never realized how painful that was for him to write that letter until I had to do it myself. And that was just one of those eye-opening events where I realized that I'm a whole lot more like my dad than I realized. And he was a whole lot softer than I gave him credit for being when I was a younger person. So that was a real good experience for me to realize that about my dad.
I think because we communicate so much, there's not a lot of things that I find out about you from other people, given the openness of our relationship. So for mine, I would change it to be some things I learned about you just from how you modeled things for me versus you telling me stuff. So I think that I appreciated you being very open, very honest with me about yourself. Instead of, it never really felt like it was a, you do it because I'm your dad and there's no other reason we're not going to have this discussion. You were always open to discuss things of why something was a certain way. The other thing I thought was really cool is knowing about your dad and how he didn't talk and communicate, and then for you to kind of break that cycle and do something completely opposite to that with how you raised your own kids, which I can only imagine was very difficult because it wasn't modeled for you. So like kind of taking that in, and instead of, you know, things that are done to us, we typically, it manifests itself later in life and how you act, like you'll become your mother, you'll become your father, that type of stuff. So, I mean, for, from what I observed was that had to be a conscious choice of you to say, I want my kids to know that I love them. I want my kids to know what I feel or what I'm thinking, or that I don't always have the right answer. And for me, that felt so intimate and it felt so inspiring, because there's things that, you know, your kids won't tell you with how they feel about themselves and how I felt about myself. But given how you modeled that behavior, I felt so much more comfortable to be like, no, that's okay. That's how it goes. Like, even learning how to like talk to girls, I'm so analytical. I would observe and have all these factors of why I can't talk to her or look at her or what I was petrified. So yeah, you look at them and then smile at them, because it'll take more energy for them to frown. And in my mind, that seemed logical. So I did it. And then I was, you know, so excited that a girl smiled at me, and you're like, okay, now you're going to say hello. I'm like, whoa, that's moving so fast. But I felt completely alone. I mean, I was homeschooled, so I didn't come around other kids very often. In fact, the first time I went to summer camp, mom dropped me off. I got out of the car. I said goodbye. At first, I begged her that I didn't want to go. And then she was like, no, you need to go. This is good for you. And I'm like, I know you're probably right, but I don't care about that right now. I can't go. I don't know these kids. What if something happens? I said, what if you need me? What if, you know, you need certain chores done and I'm not going to be there? And she's like, just go. So I got out. I took my bag. I got in line. I immediately lost it. I ran around, like, it was like a church camp. I ran around the church, caught her on the exit, and like jumped back in the car crying, and I can't do this, I'm not around other kids ever. And so she kind of talked me off the ledge, and it was a great experience, one of the best in my life, because it was my first like experience with other children, other kids my age, and that's where all that training and all that, like another thing you did for me is instilling that confidence and being okay with yourself. And I feel there's so many people out there that at that core, they don't like who they are. And so that was really modeled well for me. So I didn't have those types of issues, which is unfortunate that it does happen to so many people.
Sure.
But that was modeled for me in it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to feel comfortable with yourself. You know, God made you a certain way and he didn't make a mistake. So that I really appreciated that from learning that from you.
That's neat.
But I think we'll conclude there. And then unless there was anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think that was good.
That sounds perfect. Then we'll see you next week.
Yep.